You are now listening to the sounds of
Young Urban Lifestyle on YULradio.com.
Girl, I know I've been away. On the road doing shows, take a stay. You miss the feeling of my arms around your waist. But when I'm gone, let the music take my place. Cause baby, I miss your face. And I know you're all alone. You miss my voice on your phone. And you know I'm coming home, I got some days to go. I'm on my way for sure, I swear. Girl, you can text me.
You are now tuning in to Zion the Archangel, The Revolution, Your Addiction, Aviana, Miss Niecy, JJ, and your girl, the plus size Boosa Joya.
Yeah.
I know I've been away. On the road, doing shows, take a stay. You miss the feeling of my arms around your waist. But when I'm gone, let the music take my place. Cause baby, I miss your face. And I know you're all alone. You miss my voice on your phone. When you phone. And you know I'm coming home, I got some days to go. I'm on my way for sure. When I'm gone, you can turn on your radio. Your radio. Your radio. When I'm gone, you can turn on your radio. Your radio. Your radio.
This is WATB 1420 AM, YULradio.com. I'm in the building today with JJ.
What's up, what's up? How you doing today?
And the plus size Boosa Joya.
Yeah.
So JJ, let me ask you this. I saw this on the internet the other day, and I was just wondering, what do you think Rick Ross cup size is?
Wait, what's going on?
Probably a C, man.
C?
Probably a C plus, maybe.
Nah, I think he bigger than I think he's probably a D.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Y'all ain't gonna believe me when I tell you. But that's what you say, a D?
A D.
You think he is what?
A C plus. That's what I'm gonna stick with.
A C plus? He's a 36 triple Z.
What? You know?
That was on the internet.
Shut up.
On the internet? Yes. Rick Ross is
a 36
man
triple Z
size.
That is crazy.
Cause they measure by the back, right? The back and the bust side.
Yeah.
So his back is triple Z.
That's why.
Oh, it goes the other way. So his breast is triple Z?
Who, first off, who measured it?
Right, yeah, who measured a man's breast?
Meek Mills measured it.
Meek Mills?
Man, get out of here.
No, did Meek Mills?
Funny. No, he didn't.
All right, but in other news, though, I was reading this article. I was reading this article about the strangest places to have sex. Where would you have sex?
Oh, the strangest place I would have sex or have fantasy. Have.
Or fantasy. What's your fantasy?
There's too many.
It is just me at home fantasizing.
The radio version would be me, Britney Spears, wherever. Anywhere.
All right, so Joy.
Mine has always been the jungle.
The jungle.
I kid you not.
Fever.
The jungle.
That's real jungle fever.
Like real jungle though. Like, you know.
Like Jungle Book.
Not
jungle.
The woods, like the jungle. Like, yeah.
Like right. Amazon jungle.
Right, real life jungle.
Mine would be if I was home and I got robbed by a female officer and she had on a KKK mask and she pistol whipped me. And right before she about to pull the trigger, I get ready to.
What the
and then she pull the trigger and it doesn't go off, and that's like.
That's it, huh? Ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Follow YUL on Instagram. This week we are having Jeremiah Kamara.
He's producer, director of a documentary. We got a great show. We got.
Go ahead and say the name. Jeremiah
Kamara.
Yeah.
With producer, director of Contradictions, and
Pia Williams. WATB 1420 AM.
I can't.
.com. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Aviana, your hostess with the mostest, bringing you all of the industry's addictions and fixes. Yeah.
I'm getting higher and higher.
What's up, you guys? It's your girl, Aviana, with your daily dose of industry addiction and fixes. So, Kaylin Garcia. Everybody knows her as Joe Button's ex, which is the girl that he supposedly left Tahiri for, or when him and Tahiri broke up, he got with Kaylin Garcia. So I'm on her Instagram, and I mean, she did this a couple weeks ago. I'm on her Instagram, which is Kaylin, K-A-Y-L-I-N underscore Garcia. And everybody has been really ramping and raving over these pictures she posted. So she is painting her new room bright red, and she is painting bottomless. Yeah, I said it, bottomless. She has on a white shirt, and it shows the backside of her, and she has no shorts, no underwear, absolutely bare butt. So my question to you guys is, okay, so is this addicted to just being thirsty? Is it addicted to being cute? Is it addicted to attention? What is it? I can't figure it out, because I know I just repainted my bathroom. And although I would probably like to be butt-ass naked because I got paint all over my new clothes, because I didn't have my old clothes out of the box, but that's a whole nother story. But I mean, I still paint with clothes on. So is this addicted to thirsty? What do you guys think? And she also posted a picture. Whenever the room was completely done, she also decorated it with like some little butterflies here and there. And she's stepping back, looking at it, like at her work that she's done. And I'm thinking, okay, she got it right because she got bottoms on, but then she's completely topless. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Visit us at YULradio.com. It's your girl, Aviana, with your daily dose of industry addiction and fixes.
This is Kay Morrison, and when I'm not out there modeling, I tune into the Archangel of Radio. He's keeping the ladies happy. I'ma
change your life. I'ma change it. I'ma change your life. I'ma change your life. You used to dealing with basic bitches, basic shit all the time. I'm a new classic, upgrade your status from a standby to a freaking fly. Hop out your past life, and I'll renovate your future. Then I integrate my genius. We purchasing, not perusing. Yeah, I love your hustle, baby. Just let me add a little bit of muscle, baby. Joint venture, we'll partner up until the shares are up. And I up your wages on a private island, Dolo. With warm milk, Costa, Cono. Them bros before me was local. From customs to custom, your wardrobe, damn. Stand passports, where they got passports, to the clocks fast forward. Then we dock blue shores, where they don't do chores, we just get chauffeured. Damn, this is the life. Exclusive shit. With all access granted in the country where the accents are grand, and they landing on top of foreign land. I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life. I'ma change your life, I'ma change it, I'ma change your life.
If you could listen more than you speak, I get you everything that you need. I'm talking about red bottoms, LD, even if stench plus of your weed. Blowing on strong weed and we ride, everybody just looking. But ain't that nigga gon' holler, they like, nah, shout it, she took in. I'ma get you up out that coffee shop, hit you up in the market where you post shop. And hey, let me show you that watch you supposed to wear. Hey, get up out that Honda Civic, get your here. Tell your mom and dad you straight. Don't worry about it, you got it. You fly over and coach and fly back in the jet. Hustle gang on your chest, ain't no problem, no stress.
We spend our winters in the summer of Australia, eating crumpets with the sailors on acres without the neighbors. We fast for 4 years more. We a long way from piss poor and all the shit that we endured. I told you what you was in for, so I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life. I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, life. I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life.
Go great, you never go good. You never go bad, even if we could. I'll show you my way, I got that good, good. You never go bad, even if we could.
Have you ever wished your life would change? Woke up and you lived your dream. Baby, I could help you make that change. I could show you how to do this thing. Have you ever wished your life could change?
Yeah.
Woke up and you lived your dream. Baby, I could help you make that change. I could show you, show you, show you.
Hey!
I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, life. I'ma change your life, I'ma change it. I'ma change your life, life. I'ma change your life.
Yeah.
Love the luscious din. Speak your mind in the luscious din. Free your heart in the luscious din. Perform in the luscious din. Be you in the luscious din. And most of all, listen to the luscious din. It's just the fix that you need.
Yeah.
Luscious, yes. Welcome to the Luscious Den. It's your girl, Luscious Lonnie. Let's get right into this news. Wall Street. Wall Street bank chiefs have been squawking about the debt ceiling, and now many are feeling the small pinch from the shutdown. Now, supposedly, with our financial system continuously at stake, it leads us to wonder, what is Congress doing? I mean, is this really about debt spending? Or is it about denying the American people of affordable health care? I mean, Obama's speech was heated. He was letting us know what the real deal was with Congress. I mean, it makes me wonder. I mean, our treasury is supposedly nearing borrowing capacity. It looks to me like if the government continues this way, they will soon be handing out pink slips and IOUs, if you know what I mean. And this isn't a laughing matter, people. If this continues, everyone's pockets will feel the burn. We really gotta get this budget matter resolved. I mean, sheesh. Capitol Hill was shot at by a woman and her child in the car, might I add. She could have been anybody. She could have been mad. She could have been... They said she wasn't a terrorist. But she could have been laid off. There's numerous amounts of things that could have happened. I mean, the American people are turning upside down because we want answers. We need to know what's going on. I just hope it doesn't get to the point where we need to go under military rule. Marshal that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for lending me your ear for a second so I can buzz in it. Please be safe. No drinking and driving, no texting and driving, no puffing and driving, and it has been real. WATB1420YUL Radio.com. Check the news for local listings on what's going on in the news. It's your girl, Luscious Lonnie. Stay tuned till next time.
Hey everybody, this is Taj Infinity. I am listening to Zion, the Archangel of Radio. He definitely keeps the ladies happy.
What's up, YULradio.com listeners? This is your boy JJ here. We're running down the sports on the Fan Zone today. Anything news, anything sports talk, we got you covered from the fans' perspective. I don't want that ESPN stuff. I want the fans' perspective coming at you like it is. So here we go. What's up, YULradio.com? It's your boy JJ, and you're now stepping into the Fan Zone. And on today's show, I'm just talking about looks in sports. Like hot women who play sports who are awesome at them. Like,
okay.
Like Elena Deladon, Chicago Skies for. I got to interview her at an Atlanta Dream game. Oh my gosh, Elena Deladon. I'm a huge fan. She's actually a great person, too. She has a sibling with, I think it's Down syndrome or something like that.
Okay.
And she supports her very well, and I think that's awesome. I think that brings out a lot more inner beauty and stuff. And another girl I'm obsessed with, old school, Anna Kournikova, the tennis player. Oh,
look at you drooling. Quit playing.
Serena Williams. They're all, like, the tennis players are hot. Like Maria Sharapova.
You know, that's good that they have. When it comes to them athletes, the male at the basketball players, them football, when they take off them helmets, they be looking real crazy, about half ugly. I kid you not. Like, I've seen, I can't even think of, like, one. Ooh, you know what? What's that dude name with? And I don't know his name. The long hair, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Troy Polamalu.
Okay, now he can get it. I mean, not like that.
It comes out. Troy Polamalu. Head and shoulders man himself. It's the joyous. No. Male crush in the NFL. I just wanted to talk about looks of sports, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate y'all tuning in. That's been my segment for today. For Sejoya, I'm JJ. I'm out. Yes, yes.
The revolution will be televised.
Yeah.
Let it hit 'em.
I am the greatest.
You dig it?
Frequencies flowing through all sorts of devices. Jokes will flow about the lives of the lifeless. New advisory stickers, cause this here is priceless. From which phone is the best to whose flow is the nicest. The revolution will be televised.
Yeah.
The FCC's not ready for me. No more hiding behind the lies. I'm here to speak the unspoken truths. The revolution will be televised. Apathetic and unapologetic, the revolution will be televised. From flea market bootlegs to NASA technology, the revolution will be televised. Covering hot topics from the hood to top pop shit, the revolution will be televised.
Yeah,
you dig it, diggers.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
The revolution will be televised.
We are YULradio.com. I am Raymond, the Revolution Baxter. And with me in the studio, as always, is my girl, Sejoya, the plus size boo. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm well. And, hey, it's my main man over here, my homie.
Yes, sir.
My road dog is JJ. How you doing, JJ?
Man, I'm living the dream today. How are you?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. But you know what? Speaking of living the dream, there are a lot of people out there, especially teens and even some adults, that have now lost their lives because of distracted driving. It's now in the 21st century, it's now a problem that we have to address.
It's rising. It's terrible.
And we have right now someone that is actually going to speak to us, you know, in detail, in greater detail about this. Can we call it an epidemic?
Definitely.
Definitely. Let's call it an epidemic of distracted driving. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Cynthia Williams of a non-for-profit organization called Love From Afar. And she is going to speak with us about the dangers in distracted driving. Please give it up for Miss Cynthia Williams, please. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you all today?
Great.
Awesome.
Living it up.
Please, let's jump right in and talk about your devotion to the dangers of distracted driving. Like, this is something that affects me personally, but let's hear about it on your end of it.
You know, distracted driving for me wasn't as prevalent as it is today, like it was 7 years ago. I myself was a distracted driver. And so my son in 2006 was killed in a car crash that involved distracted driving. And I just couldn't let it be that.
When I looked down at the call sheet for the interviews for the week and I saw this, it was something I was like, wow, we really need to do this. This is a topic that needs to happen more often than not. I mean, Oprah, as we all know, Oprah has waged a one-woman war against distracted driving.
And, absolutely.
And to see that you, Cynthia, someone that's just like us, that we can touch, you know, that is doing this. So I first and foremost would like to, you know, give you my condolences for your son. And that's
definitely,
that's so tragic and
it's horrible.
What moves have you made in bringing this to light?
Well, you know, I took the tragedy and turned it to a triumph immediately. So I am the first African-American mother in the country who fights for distracted driving after losing a child. And so when he passed in 06, it wasn't much that I knew about the crash enough. All I knew was one moment I had a child for 17 years and the next moment I was making a decision whether to have his skull cut out or not because he had been thrown from a car vehicle. And I'm thinking, man, as a single mother, my most major decision had been, is it the power bill this month? Is it the gas bill? Do it the food? I mean, you know, you start trying to think of the things that are very pertinent to your family, but to make a decision very, very quick on your child when you see them laying in the hospital with their head cracked open, biggest basketball, because it was large. You're thinking, what do you mean make a decision to cut his head out? How did this happen? And what are you trying to tell me that you have to do? So when I saw not just the crash, I had to eliminate that because they happened. So we can't take that away. But what I did have to say is, not knowing enough about the crash because I wasn't in the car, I wasn't the driver, I wasn't a passenger. I know that my son was a passenger. I knew that I had to take the things about that crash and turn it in a different perspective. So I had to accept that there were mistakes made. I had to accept that my son didn't have his seatbelt on. I had to accept the fact that I'd never see him again. But in order to do that, once my life had already been affected, God placed in my heart that it was more important to save other lives because I was going to be a testimony from now until I take my last breath. Mm. And so I go all around the country and share his story. I set up different type of real life mock car crashes, a real life funeral, a real life trial. And I show people that one decision of being distracted while you're driving is going to affect not yourself, but so many people. In reference to that, the car, the insurance company, the families, the friends. I know my son had many friends. I don't know how many people right now today, 7 years later, think about him and go, oh man, I can't believe it. But know me as a mother, I wouldn't know how to even tell another mother had I not went through it what to deal with.
Now, for those who don't know you or what it is that you do exactly, give us some background on your organization, Love From Afar, the Christopher Allen Williams Foundation.
Absolutely. Love From Afar is, I'm a teen life coach. And so what I do is I mentor children to I coach them to get a mentor so that they can have a better future. I understand destructive decision making is infectious in our homes. And I understand that it becomes a challenge and a barrier during the time frame of prematurity when they're becoming adults, where they're deciding to be a leader versus a follower. I need to know that children understand the difference between a constructive and destructive decision. I don't want to assume that they know right from wrong.
Right.
Because what happens is, in our homes, so much wrong has been done. When five generations pop up, wrong becomes right just because we're complacent with the desires of what our heart led us to do.
Absolutely.
But does it mean that we can't stop and tell the kids, hey man, you know, listen, yeah, I was a teen parent, right? And I was a teen parent at 17, very first time I got pregnant. Very first time I had sex, I got pregnant. But you could not have told me that when I graduated from high school, I was going to be pregnant. And the same year my son was 17, a senior in high school, I was going to bury him. You couldn't have told me that. Think about the decisions that you make. That one decision to have sex with that boy that day for the first time has allowed me to go around the country and save lives. It's amazing. I never would have even thought that it would boil down to that. So when I had to put that together, I formed it into an organization. I said, hey, I gotta save the people, because I don't want people to think that this infectiousness of destructive decision making is acceptable, because it's not.
Right
now, we just want to thank you for coming on and letting all the moms and dads and, you know, even the children that listen to this program aware of this. Where can people find this organization on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? What do you have?
Let me give you at Love From Afar is our Twitter.
Uh-huh.
We have Love From Afar, the Christopher Allen Williams Foundation is on Facebook.
Okay.
We have Parents Against Distracted Driving is on Facebook. www.pad, and that's PADD. walkandtalk.org.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Miss Cynthia Williams of Love From Afar. Yes. Thank you so much right now for your time and your energy and dedication.
It's awesome.
And especially your story, ma'am. And we appreciate it. And I'm sure that there is a teen and a family out there that will appreciate this as well.
Definitely. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You're welcome. Thanks, guys, for having me. And I appreciate what you do. And keep up the good work.
Same here, ma'am. Talk to you soon.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye. Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh? Nail
done, hair done, everything did. It's your girl, a plus size boo, Sajoya, here with loose lips and fashion tips given into you raw and uncut. Check me out, whyyouareradio.com.
Yeah. Nail done, hair done, everything did. Nails done, hair done, everything did. Oh, you fancy, huh? Yeah, baby. Yeah. We run this mother. What up, y'all? Y'all know what time it is. It is Loose Lips with Fashion Tips with your plus size boo, Sajoya. And of course, I got my boy JJ rocking with me. What's good, Jay?
Oh, living it up. Living it up.
That's what's up. And Zion's on the mic with us today.
We got Zion.
Right? So today on Loose Lips with Fashion Tips, we are speaking on Chris Breezy and Drake. So y'all know the two reportedly made up after their long ongoing beef that resulted in, you know, in the club bar the bottles getting popped over the head and all that. Everybody was, you know, hype, you going crazy.
The light skin beef is over.
All because of one
beef
girl.
Is over. Right? Right?
One girl.
So basically, they ended up making up at the iHeart Music Festival. Drake and his crew.
Is that ironic?
Isn't it? The iHeart? The love.
The iHeart Radio
was
Music
in the building,
Festival.
Right?
Drake, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Drake came with his whole crew. He watched Chris's whole set, and afterwards they was drinking and hanging out with one another. I mean, I don't know. Then Chris posted on his Facebook hanging with Drake in the studio. So big up to them for squashing the beef on a positive note. You know what I'm saying? That's always good when, you know, sour things become sweet. So big up to y'all. More news with Drake. Kendrick Lamar ain't playing.
No.
So they trying to say, now they are saying that Kendrick Lamar allegedly, this is Drake on this year's, you know, BET Hip Hop Awards cipher. So in the cipher, he says, and nothing's been the same since they dropped Control and tucked a sensitive rapper back in his pajama clothes. Ha ha, jokes on you. High five, I'm bulletproof. Yeah, you know, never penetrate. Pin a tail on a donkey boy, you've been a fake.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, directed to Drake, but everybody gonna say what they
say.
So I don't really know, right?
The accusations are there.
They are. That they are.
Makes it seem like he's talking about
them. Right?
The lights versus the darks.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So on to other news. Just when we thought Kate Michelle finally had a good man, you know, she announced that she was with the Indiana Pacers shooting guard Lance Stephenson.
Mm-hmm.
They're officially over.
What?
Yes. Now, the reason for the breakup is that he allegedly posted a picture on Instagram of him and his ex-girlfriend/baby mama on the bed in the background. And so Kay Michelle, she took to Twitter saying she's single. She'll explain later. I have to do what's best for me. If it doesn't make you smile, then know when to walk away. There's only so much a heart can take. No one deserves to be lied to and cheated on. So. Wow.
Man, what is Stevenson thinking?
I don't really know, though. But, and on the fashion really quickly, be sure to check out Bougie Girl Apparel for the hottest bougie tank tops, shorts, hoodies, bougie tote bags, and more. When I say Miss Humphries is doing her thing, definitely check her out. You can go to bougiegirl.com. She's on Facebook/bougiegirl or on Twitter @IAmABougieGirl. But definitely get bougie with Bougie Girl Apparel, y'all. So there you go. Bougie! Have it, right? It's your girl, the plus size bougie. Tuning out on Loose Lips with Fashion Tips until next week on whyyouareradio.com.
Zion,
the Archangel
Radio.
Women want to know men's secrets. What are some things that are sexy?
Biggest turn-ons I ever had once was a girl who wanted me to introduce her to porn. Are you kidding me? Welcome to my chick.
You can't handle the truth.
It's showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Don't say it, Leaves. Don't say it.
No, I have to say it, Mitch. Showtime.
This is WATB 1420 AM. You're listening to YULRadio.com. I'm joined by JJ.
What's up, what's up?
And the plus size boost of joy.
Yes, yes. How's it going?
All right. Well, YUL listeners, we are proud to bring you an exclusive interview with author, international speaker, activist, mini movie and documentary filmmaker. He's the author of the books Holy Lockdown, Does the Church Limit Black Progress? And The New Doubting Thomas, The Bible, Black Folks, and Blind Belief. He received national attention during his appearance on The Michael Basin Show. He is the creator of the acclaimed video series Slave Sermons. In 1989, he created a roughly edited video documentary titled Psychological Wars, which examines subliminal messages in sitcoms, cartoons, and commercials that negatively impacted the psyche of the African Americans. Without further ado, we are pleased to bring all our listeners, Mr. Jeremiah Camara.
Welcome to the show.
How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem. Now, if you could just give our listeners that haven't heard your nationwide campaign about your up-and-coming film, Contradiction, a brief summary of what this film is about.
Sure. The name of the documentary is called Contradiction. And what we do is travel around the country examining the paradox of churches, saturation of churches in predominantly African-American communities coexisting in the midst of powerlessness and deprivation on all levels. And we seek to find if there is a correlation between high praise and low productivity.
So tell our listeners how they can view the film.
Well, we'll be having our world premiere here in Atlanta. Actually it's in Decatur, but we say Atlanta, the greater Atlanta area, at the Porter Sanford Theater at 3181 Rainbow Drive. And that's going to be Tuesday, October the 8th at the beautiful Porter Sanford Theater.
Got an incredible message to it.
Incredible.
Incredible message. It's really eye-opening. It's amazing.
Right.
It really is amazing.
What I was curious to know is, what was your inspiration for this film?
Well, I moved to Atlanta about 18 years ago. And one of the things I noticed when you move here in the Bible Belt was that people would ask you what church you attended even before they would ask you your name.
True.
Speak on it.
Atlanta, church is big business here. You know, coming from the north, if you didn't go to church, of course, it may have been frowned upon by many people, in the, especially the African American community, but it was almost like a death sentence down here in the South. And so that prompted me to write my first book, Holy Lockdown, Does the Church Limit Black Progress, which asks the question, why are blacks amongst the most Jesus-praising people on earth, but yet the most fragmented and economically dependent? And so after that, I wrote my next book, as you mentioned, The New Doubting Thomas, that's dealing with more of a historical aspect to religion and addresses the issue of how we arrived at where we are psychologically in terms of our beliefs and intoxication with religion. And so there was a documentary that came out directed by, it was Tariq Nasheed, I think his name of it. Yeah, Tariq Nasheed, right. And the name of the documentary that he did was called Hidden Colors. And so after Hidden Colors came out, which dealt with, you know, African-American history throughout the world that has often been ignored, or Black or African history that has been ignored, people were saying, man, you need to, you know, perhaps write a movie, because you have 43 episodes of slave sermons that I've written, which actually addresses the perils of religious intoxication, specifically as it relates to African-Americans who are disproportionately religious, more so than other groups. And so after thinking about that for a minute, after, you know, the 43 episodes, I decided to go ahead and create a full-length documentary dealing with these same issues that are addressed in the books, as well as the 43 episodes of the mini movies, Slave Sermons.
That's crazy. So have you received any backlash from religious groups or Christian organizations claiming you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't really received a lot of backlash, even when, on the national appearances, Michael Basin had his show. And one of the reasons, I think, is because to offer up any backlash, you would have to know a little bit about what you are believing in.
True.
You would have to have some historical perspectives. And as we've seen on CNN, there have been several studies that indicate that non-believers actually know more about the Bible and about the religion than the actual believers themselves. So if you're operating strictly on faith without any type of historical perspective, that how you know denominations without any investigation or knowing anything about your belief system, then, you know, if you're just strictly riding on faith, then perhaps you may not want to challenge. So I haven't really had a whole lot of backlash. You know, the faith is really the evidence that you have no faith. And so people, and I don't mean that with disrespect, but it's time that we, you know, grow up and start to learn about what we're into. And because, I mean, we wait 10 more years, we're going to be in even a more powerless position than we are now. And so we're going to have to look at the fact that we have 85,000 predominantly Black churches. I don't care where you go in the United States, in predominantly Black neighborhoods, there are churches everywhere.
Right.
It's a huge number.
Almost on every corner. If you have all of these churches, why is it when you come out of these churches, you have no ownership? You go, you leave your church, you go to a gas station that's not owned by Blacks. You go and you get your food that's not owned by Blacks. You go and you shop at grocery stores and clothing departments or whatever that's not owned by Blacks. So what is it that you're actually learning and internalizing in church? Every Sunday, we're being Peter and Paul, David and Daniel, Joshua and Joseph, Mark and Matthew. When do you graduate? What are you actually learning that translates out here into the society to where you can become competitors economically and have viable communities? So really, it's just an old tradition that we're sticking with, but it's, I think it's, we're operating outside of a modern paradigm now.
Yeah, I'm speechless, man. That's incredible. Why don't you, let's hold on to that thought. We're going to take a break here. We got to pay some bills. Listeners, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Hanan, and I am listening to YULradio.com, Zion the Archangel, and he's always keeping the ladies happy.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess, so I sit quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything.
YUL Radio, WATB, 1420 AM.
America's first radio show tailor-made for the urban woman.
Yeah. Me down, but I got up. Already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down, but I got up. Get ready, cause I've had enough. I see it all, I see it now. I got the eye of the tiger. Fire, dancing through the fire. I am a champion, and you're gonna
Hello, and I'm hanging out with Zion the Archangel on YULradio.com. He's definitely keeping the ladies happy.
Just now tuning in, we are speaking with author, writer, director Jeremiah Kamara.
In a perfect world, after viewers watch your film, what do you hope they take away from the film?
You know, I've been asked that question, and I can't really say it. I can't really speak on that. It's up to your interpretation. My job was to provide information.
Information, exactly.
And so I don't sit here before you proclaiming to have the answers, to know everything. I would be no different than the preachers that are claiming to have all the answers. I hope my main objective is I hope you watch the movie.
Just get informed.
Get informed, and I trust that we are talented enough to receive that information and internalize it and better our ways in the context that fits our lives.
Of course you get people that, you know, try to challenge, you know, your stance all the time. I'm curious to know, would you consider yourself like a religious man, Scientologist, spiritual man, atheist, or anything like that? Or is just, you don't put yourself in any of those?
You got it. I don't box myself. I don't categorize myself.
Yeah.
I'm Jeremiah Kamara. Now, I would say that I am a anti-theist. I do not subscribe to a sky father throwing darts on bad people and rewarding good people. I don't subscribe to that. And I don't subscribe to the God of the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, if you pick it up sometimes, take the dust off of it,
exactly,
except for Sunday and occasional Wednesdays, you will see that that God in the Bible is not a good God. Especially in the Old Testament, there's killing and rape that's approved of, it's slavery that's approved of. And don't take my word for it. Just read it. The book of Joshua, you cannot read that book on an empty stomach. There's so much blood and gore. God gives standing orders all throughout the Bible to kill women, to kill children, to kill entire villages, to take their livestock, to set their villages on fire. But there's always a clause in there. Keep the virgins. Keep the virgins. Wow. So for those who say God is good, that God in the Bible is good, I want to say, first of all, I know you haven't read your Bible. But what you'll do is you'll go to church and the preacher will have what's called segmented biblical attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cherry picking. They're going to
sweeten it up.
They're going to sweeten it up. They're going to talk about the stuff that you're familiar with. But they're not going to, like, if you watch the movie The Ten Commandments, read it. Don't watch it. Because what you see in that story is not what's actually in the book.
Right.
And you will see the wrath. But you got to understand now, you know, gods, there are about 300 million gods that exist around the world. It is man who has created gods. Man has personified God, has given God a personality. So when you look at the root of the word personality, we hear person. And so if God is personified, then he's going to be subjected to the same character defects that anyone with a personality would have. And this is why we see the temper tantrums that are thrown, because man throws temper tantrums. This is why we see the jealousy. I am a jealous God. This is why we see the nepotism. This is why we see favoritism over one country. I am the God of Israel. And so, because it's coming from a man, it was written by men, not women, men. And the Bible was written over a 1600 year span by about, you know, 40, 50 different authors 50 different companies. So to have a Bible, you need a lot of things to line up. You need a printing press. You need ink. You need paper. You need lawyers. You need the approval of the government. You need political power. You need military power. You need all of these things to line up. It's just not an organic book that came grew off a tree.
Yeah.
Now, can you please provide our listeners with a Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any way that they can get in contact?
Oh, sure. Facebook.com/contradictionthemovie. Also, Twitter.com/JeremiahKamara. And Facebook.com/JeremiahKamara. So all these things. But we'd like to lead people back to the Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/contradictionthemovie, because we're going to, you know, do a nationwide tour of the movie.
Yeah, it's needed.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Much needed on that nationwide tour.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll keep you posted as the dates and the, you know, the tour dates and everything like that.
So. Yeah, please do, because I'd like to see this film.
Right, right.
Oh yeah, we'd like everybody to come out and see it. If you order the tickets in advance on Eventbrite, which you'll see at on Contradiction, Facebook.com/ContradictionTheMovie, in advance, the tickets are $6. If you get them at the door, they're $10. But we can tell you now that...
save you 40% right there.
Right.
So, yeah, listeners, y'all check it out.
Definitely check it out. There you have it, YUL Radio listeners, Mr. Jeremiah Kamara. And I'm telling you, you all must check out this film, or even go to YouTube to check out the trailer. And trust me, it'll make you want to go out to see the film. So, ladies and gents, for photos from today's interview, go to Instagram, follow at MyYULRadio, or go to YULRadio.com. And you also have Mr. Kamara's info as well, so go follow him, Facebook. Did you have Instagram?
No, I don't have Instagram.
Okay.
My children were saying, you need to get Instagram, so I'll take the heat from my children.
Okay. You know what I'm curious to know? This is just me having a twisted sense of humor. I'm curious to know, like, do you get them late night phone calls from like TD Jakes or Creflo Dollar breathing in the phone like, I'm gonna get you?
Well, let me say this. Right on the heels of writing my first book, I got a call because we had a office number.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't have my personal number, but we got a call in the office, and it was probably about 12:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hesitant to answer it, but I picked up the phone. And then he was like, are you Jeremiah Kamara?
Wow.
Yes. And he said, well, I won't give his name. But he said, I just finished reading your book. This is after hearing it on the Michael Basin show. And he said, I am one of the pastors of one of the oldest historically black colleges and universities in the country. And I just want to say that this book is painfully true.
Mm. Wow.
And... but yeah, I mean, and there are also preachers, black preachers, who are listening, watching the slave sermons in secret. And they've called a colleague of mine, one of the main preachers, in fact, they said that they would be in Atlanta for the premiere. I won't say who it is,
because
I promised, you know, secrecy.
Disclosure.
Disclosure.
Yeah.
But they have been listening and have really... got a grip on this religion thing and understand that there have been many aspects about their religion that they were not taught, they were not true. For instance, I've been researching for over 25 years, and I found, you know, probably 21, 22 saviors that preceded Jesus that had the same identical story as Jesus.
Wow.
A mother named Mary died on the cross, derivative of the word Mary, ascended to heaven, called themselves the light of the world, had 12 disciples, was born of a virgin. It's an old motif. The Bible is simply a retelling of pre-existing myths and legends.
Wow. And see, first of all, I want to congratulate you for what you're doing, man. I feel like we need more people, more open-minded individuals like you. So keep up the good work. And
exactly, man. Big fan. Yeah. No.
And I will be there Tuesday.
Okay.
Look forward to it. Yes, I definitely
look forward to it. This movie was not done in the spirit of condemnation. We are not here to condemn anyone's faith or condemn anyone's belief. It's done in the spirit of respect. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to see this movie and feel like you're being bashed or beaten over the head. All we ask is that you have an open mind, because there are people listening right now who have had these same questions.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right. So until next time, enjoy, ladies and gents, on WATB 1420 AM on YULradio.com.
Hey, hey, it's Miss Nise with Love 24/7, the movement. Not talking about the booed up love, but the power of love. Stay tuned so I can tell you all about it.
And the promise that it gives, I want to love you for life. 'Cause love is for all.
Hey, hey, it's Miss Nise with the Love 24/7 Movement of the Day. And today I'm going to touch on the subject of love in the marriage. Yeah, I know, it's a sticky subject and there's different strokes for different folks. However, even though I'm no marriage counselor, I've been married long enough to have learned through trial and error some things that work and just don't work. First thing that definitely works is unconditional love. The reason why you two are together from the start is more than likely you knew each other's good and not so good and still chose to stick with one another. For the most part, the one who points out fault is usually the one that has forgot they have faults of their own. Also, we can't forget the action of making love. It's very important. Your marriage is your entitlement certificate to each other. And when one feels deprived, the little things can quickly be distorted into big things, mainly as a cry for much needed adult attention. And last but certainly not least, is remembering that although some work well under pressure, no one truly wants to feel pressured by their mate. Honestly, it can be the biggest trigger towards rebellion. From the beginning, we should stand on what we believe, mean what we say, and do what we mean, just not at the expense of tearing down our significant other. Keep in mind, they are a product of our love and reflect us accordingly. At times, genuine support can be another's greatest motivation. Be your mate's number one fan and receive your recognition in return. There's power in love, and when you find it, enhances true beauty. Today's scripture reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Thank you for listening. God bless till next time. It's Miss Nisi signing out on WATB 1420 AM and YULradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Janelle, Get Bodied by Jay, and when I'm not in the gym working out, I am listening to YUL Radio with Zion, the Archangel of Radio. He is definitely keeping the ladies happy.
I'm so happy that I found you.
found you. I'm so happy that I found you.
This is Jeremiah Kamara, and when I'm not out promoting my documentary, Contradiction, I'm listening to YULradio.com.
Good night, sweetheart. Good night.
I hope you had fun. Come back again.
Goodbye.